This is 16.9, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 16.9 has been covering the digital signage industry for more than 11 years now, first online and now as a podcast. We cover what's new and interesting and filter out all the BS. This podcast gives listeners a chance to hear at length from people and companies who are making a real mark in the industry with new ideas or just old-fashioned hard work and smarts. You can listen to episodes online, get it from iTunes or Google Play, or use your favorite podcast app to pull down the RSS feed. I know a lot of listeners fire up episodes while they're stuck in traffic or taking the dog for a walk, so maybe try that. We now have a companion podcast called Projects, hosted by my longtime industry friend, Michael Tutton. You can find it the same way. 16.9 is sponsored and supported by ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. Spinetics has been on the digital signage scene for more than a decade now. And if you're in the business, you may know them as the Swiss guys who market a really nice little aluminum-clad, solid-state playback box. They had that 10 years ago when a lot of signage networks were still going in with desktop PCs. What always stumped me was the price, which seemed really high. But in talking to the guys for the last couple of years here and there, I came to understand a couple of things. First, the boxes come with a slick software platform installed and included in the price. And the other thing is the things just last. There are Spinetic boxes out there that were first installed in 2007, and they're still happily playing away. In a world of $45 Raspberry Pis and $100 Android boxes, a $700 box to start will seem high. But Spinetic says there's a really good total cost of ownership number realized when an operator starts thinking in terms of 4, 5, and even 10 years of operation. I met with CEO Francesco Ziliani to talk about his company when we were both at Integrated Systems Europe a few weeks ago in Amsterdam. All right, so Francesco, tell me about Spinetics.
Very good. Thank you. First of all, thank you for inviting me.
Thanks for finding your way to this room in this maze of
labyrinth.
Convention hall.
I think Spinetics is a Swiss company. We are known in the industry for being the manufacturer of the hypermedia player, which is a product with quite a success. Some of our customers call it the Swiss knife, army knife of digital signage because of all the features they can use. But I think Spinetics is more than that. It's not just a manufacturer. I believe Spinetics really tries to inspire businesses of all sizes, small and big, to bring their digital stories to life somehow. Mm-hmm. And this is, of course, we need innovation. We need to provide hardware that is ready to do that, software, which is where the value is, I believe, and ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So innovation and ecosystem is basically what makes Spinetics today.
And how long has the company been around?
So we are celebrating 10 years. Uh-huh. So we started in 2006. Facebook at that time was going public. Twitter was not there yet.
I actually still had some hair.
Yeah, it went very quick, very, very fast, 10 years.
And did it start as a hardware company? What it was in 2006, is that what it is in 2017?
Very good question.
2017.
It's a long time ago, but basically Spinetics has been created as a spin-off. We were in the security business before.
Oh, really?
We sold a company quite successful in video security for large infrastructure to General Electric in 2004.
Oh.
Hmm. And after 2 years being part of General Electric, which is a beautiful company, but being part of General Electric in Switzerland is not as exciting in a way. We lost the entrepreneur side of our activity. We decided to spin off. And as we are not very, we don't have a lot of fantasy, we say, let's say, Spinetics, to highlight that, to light the spin. And X at the end was really the display. If you remember, 10 years ago, there was the World Wide Web coming out and identified as a tool that everyone was using to create content, information. And we thought displays were a good way to support this revolution, evolution. And we had the skills. We were doing embedded product, purpose-built devices mm-hmm. for security. So we had the skills, and we were in video encoding, network storage, and digital signature. We thought it would be just the other side, and mm-hmm. Collecting data from network, mixing them up, rendering in real time was something we thought was a good opportunity for us and potential customers. Mm-hmm. So that's how we created Spinetics, eight of us, eight founders.
And were you involved at that time?
I was one of the founders.
Oh, okay.
And so we have a quite technical background, the core team, mm-hmm. Hardware and software, and I was the least smart of the team, so they said, you do the CEO. And here I am.
So that's how it works.
Yeah, that's how it works.
So for people, that's one challenge of a podcast, is you're listening, but you can't see. Maybe you could describe Spinetics boxes, because they're not PCs.
No.
They're their own very distinct animals.
Correct. Well, we have decided since the beginning to create our purpose-built device. And this is really to optimize cost performance ratio to our customers the way we believe mm-hmm. should be done. Mm-hmm. And so these are small boxes of the size, well, a bit larger than an iPhone, two iPhones, one on top yep. of the other.
Aluminum cases.
Aluminum cases, yep. Very, very solid. We don't have any fans, we don't have any moving part. And this is really because of our background in security, yeah. Tough installations, tough deployments conditions. And so we had that expertise, and we say it's useful as well in the digital signage environment. Mm-hmm. So network, HDMI for displays, and USB serial for connecting with other devices.
Mm-hmm. And they're not PCs, they're...
No. Today, of course, I mean, we use a processor, but it's a processor which has a specificity. It combines ARM and DSP. I'm going too much technical,
no,
perhaps.
No.
But basically, it allows really to get a lot of bandwidth in terms of video, which is important to us to render in real time many mm-hmm. layers mm-hmm. coming from different sources, which give us quite a flexibility and special features.
And the boxes run off of software that your company has written.
Yeah, basically, of course, there is an operating system, which is Linux, dedicated mm-hmm. to the processor we have, mm-hmm. Which is a processor from Texas Instruments. And the advantage for the customer of us creating and building this device is that we are also in charge in making sure that the OS patches, security patches, and evolution patches are fully compatible with the software
right.
that renders images, videos, schedule, stream, and so on. And that's a big advantage for our customers, because if you choose a PC-based solution, whether it's industrial grade or consumer grade, you have a big problem that OS patches are out of your control if you are the software provider.
Yeah.
And that can create reliability issues, security issues, or cost a lot to make sure that...
Yeah, you're dealing with a moving target.
Yeah.
It never stops moving.
Exactly. So this, for me, is a big asset we provide to our customers, because mm-hmm. it allows, on one hand, to keep the time life of our product longer. So we are not launching a new product every 6 months. We really try to keep the model as long as we can by adding features in terms of software, which is where the value is at the end. Mm-hmm. And then we upgrade the hardware really to provide a mature technology to the industry, a reliable technology, and something that we have the confidence that the supplier can support us for not just 1 or 2 years, but 10 years. Mm-hmm. This is today, our first product is still running, is still used, is still updated. And it has 10 years. So it's a good investment for the end customer.
So boxes that you built 10 years ago
yes.
are still...
So the first model, we have three generations so far. The HMP 100 was the first. Mm-hmm. We launched it 10 years ago. Of course, we are not producing it anymore because now we are at the third generation, but we still have a warranty on the products installed, and we still provide firmware updates. So, of course, not all the features, the latest features, are supported because of CPU limitations of that model, but our customers are still using it. And it's amazing because those were not even Full HD resolutions media players, and they still do a correct job for many customers.
And what was that the thinking going into it, that the lifespan of these things should be X number of years?
Well, that was our heritage from security. We were selling to people like New York Metro. Mr. Lombardi, I remember, he came to our company saying, you know, I'm buying wheels that need to last 50 years. Mm-hmm. So I want to buy from you electronic that lasts the same amount of time. And it's true that that is part of our DNA. And what we want to do is something that lasts as much as possible. Of course, we are in a much quicker evolving industry today than security. So we need to come out with new models. But the more they last, if they answer the need of our customer, the happier we are.
So really, the only compelling reason why you would swap out a device early would be that, you know, now I want to run 4K, now I want to run 1080 or whatever.
Exactly. So it's true that we are not Samsung, so we don't have an economy of scale that allow us to control the suppliers. So we have some limitation as well in terms of producing our product beyond a certain number of years. So sometimes our customers are migrating just because they know they need to extend with a lot of new devices, and they prefer to upgrade to have the support and buying more of the same model for longer. But I believe in digital signage there are different needs. Resolution is one of them, but there are many others in terms of functionalities. And once you provide what the customer needs, you don't need to change the hardware every 2 or 3 years.
Are your end users restricted in any way in terms of what the device can do? Can they do video walls? Can you integrate real-time data, you know, all that stuff? That,
of course, I mean, I think after 10 years we have developed a lot the set of features that we provide through software. We can do, I think, most of we can answer to most of the requirements our customer are asking us. Streaming, video wall synchronization. We have a special way of doing video wall because we use NTP protocol standards, open standards, and that allow us really to synchronize at frame level all the screens, whether they are in 2x2 or delocalized. We have video streaming with very low latency, which is a challenge in our industry because you normally try to bufferize content. We do our audio, we do scheduling. And now what I think is really all about is really data. And I've been in the smart building conference right now where Internet of Things is popping out for specific application. Well, I believe that our role as manufacturer Spinetix is really to simplify how that data is unlocked and presented to the users in an understandable way. And this should be done fully automatic or semi-automatic. And if you come visiting us here at the IEC, we are showcasing a few examples of that. A very nice application of Internet of Things in Kazakhstan, where traffic sensors, security camera are deployed in a city, and all the data feeds in a fully automatic way a big totem, 5 meters tall, LED, external LED.
Yeah, I think I've written about that.
And it's quite amazing because once you define, of course, you need to deploy the network of sensors.
Sure.
But once you define the rules, how to react to specific detection, then the display is fully automatic. And That, I think, is really an exciting situation. We have our application in hubs where trucks enter a big, huge hubs and are detected through IP cameras, plate recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And the displays automatically guide the driver to the right position without any human intervention.
Oh, really?
And another application we showcase here in ISE is a partnership with Axis. Axis is a quite known company in IP cameras. They are owned by Canon.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they are selling to retail their sensors for security reasons, but they want to enlarge the scope by using their camera as sensors to drive content into display. And so what we showcase is a confrontation screen, you know, the screen you see when you enter in a mall that tells you we are watching you, so
right.
Do not do bad things. They want to turn that into a welcome screen. And they do image analysis, face detection, they count people, and so they are able to promote, for example, you are number 100 entering my shop. So here the voucher, go to the lobby, mm-hmm. go to the information to get that price. And the screen is perfect to do that.
It seems data is, we seem to be in this just scratching the surface phase of this. There seem to be so many opportunities out there for it. But my guess is for a lot of end users, they're looking at it and going, yeah, I get it, but sure, that sure sounds complicated. And you're talking about making it easier for them and being the engine to drive that. How do you do that? Is it software? Or is it?
So you're perfectly right. It's true that when we talk to specialized integrators, it's easy. They understand perfectly IT, mm-hmm. AV. IT background is definitely the ones that understand quicker.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we are getting closer to the end users as well, and to what we say, you know, the Matterhorn, the mountain. We talk to specialize on the top of the mountain, but we mm-hmm. want to go down to the bottom. And how do we do that? Well, the example I use is Facebook. Nowadays, more and more people are, instead of having their businesses, instead of having their web page, they use Facebook mm-hmm. to get visibility because it's a tool they use every day. And I think end users and customers have a lot of tools they use every day. Facebook, Outlook, spreadsheets, mm-hmm. Twitter. And basically what we are telling them, we are creating specialized applications that simply bridge the data they create every day to the screens. Mm-hmm. So they don't need to learn a new software, a new interface.
Yeah.
That's simply automatic. And of course, specialized applications have a limitation that they are specialized, so they cannot be customized. So we are launching and showcasing as well what we call widgets, which are basically the same principle, but are now programmable and customizable.
Mm-hmm.
And we teach our partner, we have an ecosystem, how to use these widgets. We use open standards, JavaScript, jQuery, so it's nothing special. Everything has already been there from the web. And we tell them how to bridge spreadsheet, CSV, JSON sources, REST API with different nature of data, mm-hmm. how to represent them into the screen. And that's the challenging part, actually. Mm-hmm. It's not the technical. Our customers are telling us, what do I do with that information? What is the value for me to display? And mm-hmm. That's really something that we need partners to understand better. We need to listen better to mm-hmm. Our customers, and it's a very real challenge.
There's a bunch of costs involved in putting this podcast together, so I'm very grateful for the support this podcast will get from our new and sole sponsor, ScreenFeed. Here's founder and CEO, Jeremy Gavin.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. As content people, we love great content, and we think Dave's doing a great job with this 16.9 podcast, which is why we've offered to sponsor it. If you'd like to see the content that we create on a daily basis, head over to screenfeed.com and check it out. Let us know if we can help you in any project you're working on. And do me a favor, if you don't find what you're looking for, shoot me an email at jeremy@screenfeed.com. I'm always interested in new ways we can help. Now back to the podcast.
next question around how you go to market. Is it through partner program, channel program? Do you direct sell?
Well, the ecosystem is for us very important. We have decided since the beginning not to sell direct, but to sell indirect. Mm-hmm. It's more challenging. It takes more time. But then you really have partners that share the same vision with you. They are local, so they can help better mm-hmm. our integrators, our installers with local training, mm-hmm. Which are nowadays given in a lot of languages in a lot of countries. And that ultimately helps better the end customer, because if the dealer integrator is certified, the end customer knows he can trust. Yeah. He knows the technology, and he's an expert in digital signage. And this is the way we present. We will improve as well marketing. This is some investments, because it's true that when you go down the mountain, you need to reach a wider audience with not a specific know-how or skills, very heterogeneous type of people. And we want to reach as much as we can.
Right. The product, as it now sits, the current version of it, you buy the hardware and the software is bundled with it. Is that correct?
Correct. So basically, we do have all our models, all our hardware models have a software bundle with it. Mm-hmm. So the only thing you need is the hardware. And it comes with everything you need to have the specialized version of digital signage, we believe, covers mm-hmm. most of the needs. Now, when you go to a more specialized or customized application or need, then we provide a tool, a software tool, which is really a content offering or a programming tool mm-hmm. That simplifies the creation of widgets, as I was mentioning, and scheduling and mm-hmm. And planning of the content. And that is basically what we sell to our customers. Some end users buy as well, because it's quite easy to understand and to learn. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have much to do with the players. It's just an offering tool.
Right.
And some of our customers are developing their own offering tool, because we use only standard languages. So our players can play standard XML structured files. And however you want to generate those, mm-hmm. the player will be able to play.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any partners who are putting their own software as a wrapper around your existing software? Or in theory, if I'm Brand X CMS, use a Spinetics box as my player?
Exactly. So we do have several. Okay. Here at IEC, there are three of our partners.
And who does that? I wasn't aware of that.
For example, an Italian company called Vome. They have a software called Jade. We know each other since 10 years, since the beginning, and they created a dedicated CMS for retail on our platform. And we have several others. Convergent Media mm-hmm. Systems, they in the US, they also have gone through that path. With, of course, each one of our partners specialize
right.
the way they fill the market for them.
Right, and Convergent has this digital signage as a service thing,
exactly.
and they've wrapped in other things in there.
Exactly.
It, right?
And
okay.
frankly, sometimes they might decide to use different players than ours.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that is not a problem. It means that they have understood what the customer needs, and they try to provide exactly what the customer
right.
needs. But they know the value our product brings to them in terms of reliability, security.
Right.
And so up to them then to choose
okay.
the best.
So the Italian company, because they're dealing with retail, there's certain elements of the user experience or functionality that they really need that you guys aren't going to develop because they're the only ones that really need it, or you're not going to develop it on the timeline that they want it to. So they
exactly.
wrote their own.
And you know, there is a you were mentioning software as a service.
Mm-hmm.
Software is a lot related to service.
Mm-hmm.
And to provide a good service, you need to be close to the customer. Mm-hmm. We are in Switzerland. We are not present in every country in the world. So it's important to have a collaborative approach to mm-hmm. this industry, because that opens opportunities. Mm-hmm. And our mission is really to provide the best product we can to help our customers to be quicker, to be better on the market with their added value. Mm-hmm. And that's the philosophy we have. And it's clear that CMS and other solutions that have been added on top of our player typically are designed to answer specific needs.
Right.
And we are not going in that direction because we couldn't cover all the needs in the planet.
Mm-hmm. Now, I remember when you guys first showed up at Infocom and you had this big white cube mm-hmm. of a display booth.
Good memory.
And looking at the device and looking at the software, I remember it was the first time I'd ever seen scalable vector graphics, and I had to go look that mm-hmm. up. Mm-hmm. So I was quite intrigued, and I asked some questions and said, well, how much are these boxes? And then I heard the number mm-hmm. Through a reseller, and I thought, whoa, that's expensive. Yeah. And I didn't, it took me a long time to understand what the real pitch is, mm-hmm. that when you're buying the box, you're getting the software and you're getting something that has a life cycle of apparently 10 years yeah. or more. Has that been a challenge for you guys?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Today, I think we are suffering a lot from the maturity of the industry, which is not evolved to...
The immaturity of the industry.
Of the industry. I think it's very challenging, really very challenging, to understand the total cost of ownership when you are going into digital systems.
There's lots of lip service paid to it, but...
Yeah. And the day where people will understand better total cost of ownership, probably things will be clear mm-hmm. and easier to explain. It's true that our value proposition to our customer aims projects that have a time span of 3-5 years.
Yeah.
Needs to take into account the fact that if you need to hire a design company to create every single image and video manually, then the costs are clearly not the technology, is the time passing creating that content. Mm-hmm. For us, of course, we need to be a profitable company. You know, if you are in a plane, they tell you in case of accident, you need to put oxygen masks before you and then on the others. We live in an ecosystem. There are people depending on us that mm-hmm. have decided to really create the value on top of us. And I believe that at the end, if you think of an investment that gives you the possibility to add new features to answer your current needs today and reduce cost in terms of maintenance, reliability, with a warranty, with a model that is available on the market for many years so that you can extend mm-hmm. without changing everything. Then at the end, if you add all this together, you will see that actually the cost of our products is very aggressive. And it's very interesting because we have done a survey some time ago in the US. Mm-hmm. And we found out that our audience was really divided in two. And there were people saying our product was too expensive, but the other half was saying it's too cheap. It's a very bargain. And when we analyze the profile of the people, you were seeing those that were using our products within the way we have designed mm-hmm. the product for, they were very, very happy. So our challenge is really to get closer to a wider audience, mm-hmm. to be able to explain better our cost, which are real. We are not making huge margins. It's really an investment. It's really a lot of work behind. But at the end, we have a belief that we are in the right path. Mm-hmm. We have done the right choices. It's not easy, but we are going in the right direction.
It would I don't know how much you can talk about prices, but if we think in terms of U.S. dollars, mm-hmm. If I'm buying your latest generation device, what's the MSRP on that?
So the end user price is around $700 dollar for our entry level, which has the same level of professional behaviors than mm-hmm. The more specialized. Then, of course, when you go to a much more specific, you increase. But as you said, it comes with 3 years warranty. It comes with the possibility to buy the model for many years. It comes with a support local, mm-hmm. With training, and with the possibility to make a lot of automatic content generation, which I think is a real upset. And it reduces a lot all the cost of operation maintenance. You know, when you put a player behind a screen in a difficult location and you have 400 locations to cover, mm-hmm. if every week you need to drive and change things or correct things, then you are in trouble.
Yeah.
And our product comes, is able to connect to a cloud monitoring system that monitoring real time the temperature, the CPU situation, the storage situation, the network status. And so all this can trigger alarms. Mm-hmm. You can do preventive maintenance, and this reduce a lot the cost in maintaining a system, digital signature network.
Yeah, I remember for a project I was looking at, I ran the numbers, and I think over a five-year time frame, reasonable time frame, mm-hmm. Comparing it against hardware, software, comparing it against a mid-range PC mm-hmm. with software as a service software and all that, mm-hmm. it was very, very similar.
I think I don't have exact numbers, but 5 years is 60 months. So you divide by 60, even if it's $1,000, that's not the biggest investments you're doing.
No.
I think... of course, there is another model, which is you don't buy the hardware, but you lease it, basically, and you pay a service.
Okay.
And that's, of course, you keep paying mm-hmm. as much as you use it. So you cannot leverage the advantage of long time. Mm-hmm. So it's a different approach. Some industry, like retail, are more like spending regular.
Yeah.
Other industries, like security, like building, like... They prefer to buy a set and keep them.
How do you deal with this phenomenon that's happened over the last two or three years with all of these very low-cost devices all the way down to a $45 Raspberry Pi? Yeah. And I think that, I can't remember the name of it, but there was something that was $15 for a single board computer. And I watched my traffic on 16.9 and mm-hmm. there's a lot of people researching that sort of stuff. So here you are at the other end with, I think it's reasonable to say premium product, premium in the good sense.
Yeah.
Premium
yeah.
dedicated.
So of course,
how do you deal with people who want, you don't want to pay anything for it?
The big advantage of all these devices is clearly price, because they are benefiting from economy of scale, mm-hmm. which is huge. I mean, you are Samsung, you can produce millions of devices in one row. The problem is really the duration of the product, the commitment in terms of supporting it, the feature set, because you start with a feature set, but if you want to add new ones, you need to wait the next generation and buy and change the hardware. So it's an approach. It's a decision. I believe that the value in digital signature, the way I see it, is really soft. And but if you just think about software and you make an abstraction of the hardware on which the software is supposed to run, mm-hmm. then you risk a lot mm-hmm. for your customer, because you are not anymore under control. The hardware may create a failure. You, as we were saying, OS needs to evolve quicker and quicker because of security. You have more and more challenges in terms of hacking solutions. So if you are not mastering these operating systems, these devices, it's getting more and more difficult to guarantee reliability, security to your customer.
Right.
And so at the end is a choice that the end customer needs to take. Do they want to have something on which someone can commit? And then they need, purpose built, something on which you can control the metal and the software? Or do you prefer something to try? And then, of course, there are a lot of opportunities there.
Yeah, be prepared to invest a lot of time.
Making it really things depends work. On the need. It really depends on the need. We have deployed a big project, FedEx in US, a lot of locations, H3G, a big project in Italy with 600 shops. They are running since 5 years now. And I recently contacted them and saying, okay, we are now changing the display, but we are keeping the players. So that is what I like, a new way of doing business in a way.
It's a bit of a double-edged sword though, right? Because
yeah.
If they're so reliable, they don't need to buy them again, then.
Yeah, but I think, I don't know how marketing evaluates the size of digital signage, but it's so big that I have the impression that even if I'm in a niche, even if I'm answering a reduced amount of customer needs, I still have a lot to enjoy, and that's where being a Swiss company, I really can be competitive. I will not be competitive against the economy of scale.
How many connected devices do you have out in the wild?
I think we are a small number. I think we are approaching 100,000 today.
So
it's not huge. 10 years takes a lot.
Yeah.
But they are there and we can monitor them. We can see where they are and they are working. They are really working.
And what is your biggest network?
I'm not sure if it's FedEx or if it's H3G. It's about 5,000-6,000 units.
Okay. And FedEx, that's all in like their logistics area, that sort of thing?
Yeah, it's quite technical. It's not front end.
Yeah, it's saying this truck's got to go soon and all that sort
but
of thing.
But, you know, it's as a manufacturer, we are a manufacturer, but through an indirect sale channel, it's very difficult to have contact with the end customer. That's probably the bigger problem we have to get the feedback from the field. So we don't know 100% of the time how our products are used, but we know they are working fine.
Right.
That's we know.
Okay. What does the next year or so look like for Spinetics?
The next evolution, the vision. I think it's all about data. That's really what we want to go. Now I also think that there is a lot of convergence in technologies that will take place, and we are not alone. We need to team with other industry actors in other domains. Perhaps it's not called digital signage in those environments, but still is a technology to drive content on screens, smart buildings, smart cities, optimization of traffic, smart hubs, smart industries. And there, I think, where our investments will go in the coming years. But we also like the idea of getting closer to smaller deployments where the end customer has already tools to create his stories every day. And we want to find the right way to bring those stories into the screens to create new ways to interact with the audience in the shop, for example, or in a restaurant. And there is a lot to do there, but we believe we have the technology to simplify that at maximum.
All right. Well, thank you very much for taking the time with me today.
Thank you, Dave.
hopefully the show goes well. I assume it will.
I'm sure. And please come visiting us.
Oh, I will. And thank you for the chocolate. It's almost a cliche, but you brought me Swiss chocolate.
Well, that's the minimum.
All right.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and that you learned something. If you want to stay on top of what's happening and actually matters in digital signage, join thousands of readers who visit 16.9, that's 16-9.net every day. 16.9 the blog and now the podcast are both properties of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare bedroom in my house near Toronto. Thanks to our podcast sponsor, ScreenFeed, and thank you for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.